You're about to listen to an audio sermon by Pastor John Pierre Becker. For information on this podcast or any other resources, visit gfm.co.za or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
David said in Psalms 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. How many of you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Tonight, I want to make a shift in the series, and I want to talk to you for a few moments about a kingdom culture that God is raising up. Say with me, a kingdom culture. I am not talking about a church culture. I am talking about a kingdom culture. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And as you preach the gospel of the kingdom, miracles, signs, wonders will follow. I don't know about you, but I am tired of playing church. I am tired of playing religious church. I want the kingdom and the power of God to be made manifest here and now. Somebody say kingdom culture. Somebody say you're part of a kingdom culture. And when I look at the life of David, I see David had a culture, and it was a kingdom culture. Somebody say kingdom culture. This kingdom culture have an attitude, and they are glad when it comes to the kingdom of God. For David said, I was glad. David wasn't sad when he went to the house of the Lord. David was glad. Did somebody say, be glad. You're in the house of God. This kingdom culture, they have an excitement about the kingdom of God. They are enthusiastic about the kingdom of God. When it's time to go up to the house of the Lord, there is an excitement that rises up on the inside of them. But they don't want dead religion. They don't want a church culture. They want a kingdom culture. Therefore, when the power and the presence of God is being made manifest, it means that that house or that church or that ministry have a culture, and it's called a kingdom culture. Jesus said, how will you know that the kingdom of God has come near to you? When these signs follow, when God begin to touch people, when the anointing begin to touch people, that is how you know the kingdom of God has come near. Somebody say the kingdom of God. Therefore we preach. We don't preach a gospel of motivation. Because you can go through the Christian channels and you'll find a lot of motivational speakers. How many know what I'm talking about? They can say cute things, but there's no power. If there's no power, it means the kingdom is not being made manifest. Come on. If miracles is not happening, it means the kingdom is not there. There is no kingdom culture. But in this day and hour, God is raising up a kingdom culture. I'm talking about a Jesus culture. I'm talking about a people that will bring the kingdom of God down here. Kingdom culture. Wasn't it the number one desire of Jesus to see the kingdom of God be made manifest here and now? Because Jesus said to his disciples, this is how you ought to pray. Let your kingdom come. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. It is the number one desire of God to bring the kingdom of God down here and create a supernatural kingdom culture. Say it will be kingdom culture. My God, you might be saying, what is this craziness about? Why is this preacher so on fire? This is a kingdom culture house. Why are people falling over? Why are devils coming out of people? We have a culture. It's called a kingdom culture. Therefore, Satan has come and get touched by the power of God. Therefore, Satan has come and their lives are transformed. Why? Because we will not judge them. Not once did I judge somebody that looked like the devil. They are welcome in the house of God. They are welcome here. Why? Because we have a kingdom culture. Jesus said, you pray like this. Your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. Watch this. We are trying to get people to heaven while God is trying to get heaven to earth. I say we are trying to get people to heaven while God is saying, I want to bring the kingdom here. I want to bring the kingdom to your schools. I want to bring the kingdom to your colleges. I want to bring the kingdom to your universities. I want to bring the kingdom to the workplace. I want to bring the kingdom to the marketplace. Somebody shout, kingdom here and now. Don't get me wrong. I believe that the day and the hour is coming where the skies will be torn open and Jesus will come and fetch his people. How many of you believe it? But we have to occupy till Christ comes. We have to plant the heavens here. Say with me, kingdom now, kingdom here. Which means that when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on the earth just like it is in heaven. It means that you are planting the heaven. Isn't it wonderful to see when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom? He didn't preach a gospel of motivation. He didn't preach a gospel of prosperity. I don't know why and where these guys come up with these gospels, because it's not the gospel of Jesus. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And when he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, devils came out of people. Deaf ears open up. Blind eyes open up. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout, kingdom here and now. And this entire chapter is about the kingdom of God. For Jerusalem signifies the kingdom of God. And here David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. For our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is a city that is compacted together, to which tribe goes up even the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed as a testimony for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones of judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, the holy city. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God. Listen now. Say with me, kingdom culture. I will seek, inquire for, and require your good. David said, I'm going to the kingdom of God. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, not for my good, but for the kingdom's sake. This kingdom culture that I'm talking about, they have an obsession to expand the kingdom of God. They have an obsession to seek the kingdom of God first. They put the kingdom first in everything that they do. Lift both your hands. Say, I will put the kingdom first. Kingdom culture. Come on, somebody. Say with me, I am part of a kingdom culture. I will fall in love with the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom culture that I'm talking about tonight, this new breed, They are in love with the agenda of heaven. They are in love with the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. They cannot wait for souls to be saved. Come on. They cannot wait for people to get touched by the power and the presence of God. Therefore, you cannot leave this place without being touched tonight by the kingdom of God, by the power of His kingdom. We have a revelation of the kingdom, the power and the glory of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is the very environment of heaven. It is in this realm. As air is the environment of the earth. Glory is the environment of the kingdom of God. As I'm speaking right now, the environment of heaven, the environment of the kingdom of God is invading this place. I say there's going to be smoke in this place. Smoke of glory. We don't need a smoke machine. We will have the smoke of the glory of God, because when the kingdom arrives, it brings about an atmosphere. It's the glory of God that comes down, and when the glory comes down, sickness becomes illegal. Come on, bondage becomes illegal. Sickness becomes illegal. Every kingdom has a king. And when we started singing about Jesus, the kingdom showed up with the king. Woo! Come on, somebody. It's almost like the Holy Ghost. And you have to see the Holy Ghost as the governor of the kingdom of God. And the governor, first of all, showed up in our praise and our worship. And the governor, the Holy Spirit, informed Jesus, the king, that there's somebody here, right here in Centurion, that's lifting up the king. So the governor said, come, Jesus, come. Kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Come on.
Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come.
Here and now, here and now.
Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. 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 Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come.
Somebody give him praise if you believe it. Come on, shout if you believe the kingdom is here. And the kingdom is near. Come on, give him praise. Woo! Shout kingdom culture three times. Give him praise in this place. Come on. Be seated for a moment. Stay with me. Now watch this. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 31. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. Turn to somebody and say, don't worry about a thing, every little thing. Gonna be all right. It says, don't worry or be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. Your heavenly Father knows about your every need. He knows about things you need that you don't even know you need. I say He knows about things you need that you don't even know you need. I say He knows about things you need that you don't even know you need them. There is vitamins you need that only he knows you need them. There's some blue bull steak he knows you need that you, how many of you know what I'm talking about in this place? Come on. There's some choppies without the fat that he knows you need without you knowing you need it. Come on, somebody. For all the single people, there is a man you need that he knows you need that you don't even know you need it. There is a lady you need that only he knows you need her and you don't even know you need her. Come on, somebody. Shout, yeah. All the single people. He knows about your every need. The finest detail. He knows about everything. There is not a thing he doesn't know. The Bible says that even the hair on your head is numbered. My God, I feel the anointing in this place. He knows how much hair you have. He even knows about your dandruff. He knows about every little thing you don't even know about. He knows your every need. Somebody say, I have a Father that knows my every need. But now he says, now that you know that he knows everything, now that you know, he knows. He tells you in verse 33, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. And his righteousness. And his ways of doing and being right, then all these things taken together will be given unto you. God already have a system in place. I say God already have a system in place. You see, you don't have to seek the car because God will program the car to seek you when you seek him. God, oh my God. God has a system in place. God is a clever God. God is an intelligent God. He knows about everything. He's got everything in place. When you seek him, he will program the house to seek you. If you seek him, he will program that bookie to seek you. Come on, somebody. If you seek him, he will. I feel the anointing in this place. Can I prophesy? Raboshaka. He will program the money to seek you. Give him praise if you believe it. Woo! He's got a system in place. It's called seek the kingdom first system. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, God has it all in place. You just have to seek him. And as you seek him, it will come looking for you. Say with me, goodness and mercy is programmed. I say goodness and mercy. It's programmed to seek you. But watch this. The Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He anoints my head with oil. You see, it first says, the Lord is my shepherd. You have to know you have a shepherd that will not leave you astray. I say you have a shepherd. Turn to somebody and say you have a shepherd. And it's not any shepherd. It is a good shepherd. I say you have a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Secondly, you have to know, I will not want. And then it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And then I will fear no evil. Come on, somebody. Come on, preach to me. Your rod and your staff is there to what? To guide me. Come on. And then he says, to top it all, I will anoint your head with oil. You see, anointing comes to those that have a kingdom culture. This kingdom culture that I'm talking about, they are dripping with oil. They are dripping with the anointing. They are called kingdom seekers. They are not seeker-friendly seekers. They are not man-pleasing seekers. They are kingdom of God seekers. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm sure he's making you to lie down because you can't stand. If you want to know why you're falling over, the Bible says he makes me to lie down. Psalm 23. Hy laat my neer lê in groen weivelde. Woo. This scripture is for kingdom seekers, a kingdom culture. Because the oil is only found in the secret place. The oil is only found in the hiding place. The Bible says in Proverbs, there are precious treasures, anointing oil in the dwelling of the wise. How many of you know that oil, you have to seek it out. Come on. You have to drill for the oil. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that a treasure, you have to seek for that treasure. You have to go after that treasure. This treasure will be found by kingdom seekers. Come on, somebody. So now you're seeking the kingdom of God. And here you get to the oil. The Lord anoints my head with fresh oil. My brimming cup runs over. Some have a beaker, some have a jug. It's running over. Let's go like this. Say overflow. Say overflow. Too much to handle. Then it says, only goodness and mercy and loving kindness shall follow me. How many of you know that goodness and mercy and loving kindness is programmed to seek me? Come on. Which means wherever I go, they follow me. Come on, somebody. They follow me. They follow me, they follow me, they follow me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. I say wherever I go, they follow me. Goodness and mercy. But you can ask my wife. Every time we put the kingdom of God first, God put us first. I say every time we put God first, God put us first. When you take care of God's business, He will take care of you. I say it's just the way God operates. When you take care of His business, He will take care of your business. And I don't want you to go quiet now on me, but let me use one example. Just a small example. When it comes to the end of the month, everybody say amen. Amen. And you receive your paycheck or you receive your salary. The test is, are you part of the new breed? Are you part of this kingdom culture that put God first? And don't worry, this is not the motive of my message at all tonight. In fact, God rearranged the entire cake. I'm getting recipes here, recipes there, here, there in the spirit. And you might get a trifle in the spirit at the end of the service. Amen? So I'm not here to preach about money. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? So here is the end of the month. And you get your salary. And many times we put our needs first. And we forget about the kingdom of God. The test will be in everything that you do. Why does God say, seek me early in the morning? Why? Because God loves it when we put Him first. Why do we fast and pray and we do a 21-day Daniel fast? Here to help us. The end of the month and we go 21 days in fasting and prayer in the month of January. Why? Because we put God first. in the beginning of the year, and when we put God first in the beginning of the year, God will sit and program the entire course of the year. Come on, somebody. Say with me, God first. There's something about the power of first. When you put Him first, He'll put you first. So now the test is, when you get the salary and you see that there's a list of things that you have to pay, the test will be, will you tithe first? Before you do anything, when you give the 10% to God, God says, watch this pace. That's my translation. God says, watch this pace. Isn't it amazing to see that it's the only place in the entire Bible where God says, test me, try me in this. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing. God says, I will just release a singular blessing. I don't, oh my God, I feel the anointing here. I'm God all by myself. So I don't even have to release blessing. I just, how many of you see this? I just have to release a singular blessing. And that will be so much that there will not be room enough to receive. It doesn't say in Malachi 3, I will pour out blessings. No, it says, I will pour out a blessing. Oh, Yerah, he says, help us. Fatsua. That is what God actually meant. Test me in this. I want my dookie back. Test me in this. I will just release a singular blessing over your life that there will not be room enough to receive it. Somebody say overflow. More than enough. Access. Come on, somebody. Super abundance. Too much to handle will be released over your life when you put Him first. Come on, somebody. Give Him praise. Isn't this the reason why when you get impregnated by your husband and the baby gets born and the family is so excited about the new little born baby? Oh, I say, oh, look, cake say thank you, say, this is tanani. Cake say, where is? Cake say, gums. I had to correct myself. Pastor has to dedicate the baby. And everybody's so excited. And Oma, he calls some a treki for the new baby for the unseen day. Amen. Because it's a newborn baby. And according to good, godly tradition, the family will bring the baby to church. And they will bring the baby to the pastor. And just like Jesus did, Jesus took the little children and He invoked the blessing on the children. Turn to somebody and say, "Come here, Revi." Don't miss it. Why do they want the pastor to dedicate the baby? Because they want the baby to be blessed the rest of his life. Therefore, you can try and run from God. But if you had a mother or a father or a grandmother or somebody that brought you to church when you were a little baby and a man of God laid his hands on you and dedicated you to God, you can try and run away from God. There is the power of first that kicks in when you try and run away from God. You've been dedicated at birth. You, my rabosaka, you are property of God. And the baby is blessed the rest of his life because the baby got dedicated first to the kingdom of God. And God Almighty took that little child and He invoked the blessing upon that kid's life. Come on, somebody, where you should have been dead. You should have been the power of the blessing was invoked on your life At first, in the beginning days of your life, say with me the power of first. And now we see how hard it is and how difficult it is for generational Satanism. Generational Satanists to come free, because they tell me that at dedication they will bathe these little Satanist babies in blood from a little age, which means they are given to Satan himself first. But thank God for his grace and his power that is boundless. Come on. I don't think our children understand how privileged they are to be raised up in the kingdom of God, to be raised up in the power of God. I thank God for the seeds, the Pentecostal Holy Ghost seeds that was planted from a little kid. I grew up in the church and I tried to run away from God, but I came running back into his arms. I prophesy every one of your children that has been given to God, they will serve God. They will live to declare the glory of the Lord. Stand upon your feet and give God praise. Woo! Somebody shout, woo! Woo! I want you to know what God has blessed first, no man can curse. I say what God has blessed first, no man can curse. You might be saying, Pastor, but I was never dedicated to God at first in my baby years. I grew up in a godless family. I want you to know the moment you say Jesus is the moment you belong to him, and every curse shall be broken. Come on. The devil might try and haunt you with your past, and that's what the devil does. He can only use the failure of your past. But every time he reminds you of your past, you have to remind the devil of his future. At the end of the book, I read, the devil will be bound in chains forever, and the church of Jesus Christ will be victorious. If you believe it, give God praise in this place. Remain standing. I'm closing with this. Watch this. Psalms 102 and verse 13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servant take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. God is not referring to a time on a calendar. He's referring to a moment of favor. Watch this. When you bless the dust of the kingdom of God, just the dust, that is the designated moment that God releases favor over your life.
You've listened to an audio sermon by Pastor John Pierre Becker. For information on this podcast or any other resources, visit gfm.co.za or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.